I'm going to invite you to turn with me to 2 Peter, and you can look that up in your pew Bibles. Unfortunately, we're not going to be reading what's on the screen, because I think I sent a typo. So you need to turn to page 1018. As we read God's Word, let's come to Him in prayer first. Father, we thank You for an opportunity again as Your people to open Your Word, Your letter of the depth of Your love to us. And I would ask, Father, that again on this day that You would open our hearts, our minds, that we would be eager to hear what You would desire of us, that we would be eager to hear of Your great love for us, that we would have ears that are open, hearts that are open, and minds that desire You. Father, I would ask that You would bless the reading of Your Word and its explanation. In Jesus' name, amen. Second Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 1, and we're going to read up through verse 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're going to focus on really just one word, and that word is found in verse 5. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. And I'm going to change that word a little bit simply because I think it's a better, it helps us to better understand that word. And if you go to some of the other translations and back to the Greek, that word is goodness. Add to your faith goodness. Okay, so just keep that in mind as we're going through. Virtue, goodness. This morning I begin by acknowledging a few resources that I've been using to help me in my study of 2 Peter. There's a number of writers and a number of commentaries and readers and books out there. But I'm indebted to people like Mark Buchanan, Paul Tripp, and Jacqueline Fallhaber, who've written extensively on 2 Peter in the last number of years. And so I use those as my tools and resources to give me some background. And there's one aspect in life that I have learned, and that is that life goes easier if I have the right tools for the job. It goes even easier yet if I actually know how to use those tools. I found it to be true. When I do something small like changing the oil on my vehicle, you know, the basic tools are really helpful. I remember a time early on I had this little car and I just couldn't get that oil filter off. I didn't have the right tools. I just couldn't get it off. And I ended up using a knife sharpener thingy, you know, one of these long things, and I pounded it through the filter and tried to do it. Well, that didn't work. The filter just ripped and shredded, and it was just an awful mess. And there I am sitting in my driveway with a car without an oil filter, or at least a filter half on. The right tools are important to get the job done. I'm renovating or working on a bathroom right now, and it's the same thing. I just need those right tools. Sometimes you just think it's better to get somebody else to do it for you. The right tools make work much easier. I think I use that illustration to help us understand that the right tools also make life easier. It's particularly better for us as believers if we have the right tools and we actually know how to use those tools. This is the third message in a bunch of messages on 2 Peter that I'm working through. And what I believe is that 2 Peter actually gives us tools to live life in the valley. In the first message, which was back in August, for those of you who are here, we just had sports camp. We looked at that first part of this chapter in 1 Peter, in 2 Peter. And what we learned there in that first message was that it was through the righteousness of Jesus and his work on the cross that we actually have forgiveness of sins. And we talked about that we've been accepted into God's presence through this grace, and that we have peace in Jesus, and that God gives us everything we need. That was way back in August. So it's just jogging your memory there. And then early in September, I came with a second message where we learned that we've been given this gift of faith from God. And we talk a lot about faith and a lot about what that means, but what we understood and distilled it down to is that faith is a gift. We don't earn faith. It's given to us by God through Jesus. It's ours to use and to integrate into our lives. In other words, we know that through the work of Jesus on the cross, we've been cleansed from our old self, and we're dressed with the righteous robes that Jesus offers. And God gives us faith to believe that. But what does that mean? Pastor Matt talked about those robes of righteousness this morning already. What does that mean? What are these robes of righteousness? What really does that mean for us today as we live life in the valley? Well, I believe that in 2 Peter chapter 1, we've got a description of the tools that help us to put on these robes of righteousness so that we're better equipped. Yeah, tools that stay in the toolbox that you never learn to use are actually useless. You should never buy them. They're a waste of your money. And I think that as God's people, if we don't pull the tools out of his word to help us live life, we're actually wasting our time. So this morning, I'm hoping to give us a tool that we can use so that, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, that if you will possess these qualities, these tools in increasing measure, they will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive. In other words, for us to wear those robes of righteousness, the forgiveness, the life that Christ gives us, we've been given these tools, and we need to learn to use them. And those tools are goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So as God's people now, we need to learn to get dressed, to put these on. And I get that from that little statement there in 2 Peter chapter 1, that little statement where it says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. In other words, learn to use the tools. The NIV puts it, make every effort to add to your faith. This list that the Apostle Peter gives could be the same, very similar to what we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where the Apostle Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's these tools that we've been given are given to us by God through the work of the Spirit. And if we use these to add to our faith, then God is going to change us so that He's going to deal with those deep distortions and incongruencies in our life. He's going to deal with our idols. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I need to draw in a few more parts to help us paint a better picture this morning and actually kind of stitch on this canvas this morning of what it means, what this goodness means. And Pastor Matt's been taking us through the Gospel of Mark for the past few months. And we know that Mark uses the Apostle Peter as the main source for his writings. So 2 Peter really ties into what's happening in the Gospel of Mark. And I just want to remind you of that. So there's two passages that are really important for our background this morning. The first is taken from Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, you will remember, is the story where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain, and Jesus is transfigured. He's changed in the presence of Peter, James, and John. He becomes this glorified person, and then Moses and Elijah come out and talk with Jesus. So we need to keep that picture in mind, because when Peter's on that mountain, he is overwhelmed by the glory of God and he wants to stay there. And he says, let's build some huts for you so that we can just stay in this moment. I want to stay on the mountain. And of course, that's not going to happen, at least not yet. But Peter wants to live in that glory. And I think that when he writes in verse 3 of 2 Peter, when he writes that Jesus' divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who's called us by His own glory and goodness, I think Peter's thinking back to this Mount of Transfiguration. He's saying, that's where we need to stay focused on. We need to remember that Jesus has met us on the mountain and has given us everything we need. He's called us by His own glory and goodness. Then the second passage is from Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 31. And that's the passage where a rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? In the Gospel of Luke, it's changed a little bit, and the young ruler asks, what good thing must I do? And Jesus responds to this young ruler, and he says, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? No one's good but God. Only God is good. And this brings us to our focus today of that word good, goodness. Goodness. Only God is good. Goodness. Think about that. What do you think about? What comes to your mind when you think about goodness? How would you define it? It's not really a trick question, though there is some stuff we're going to talk about. So, give me some ideas. What do you think about when you think of goodness? Anybody? Okay, it's going to take a few minutes in the sermon here, so it's okay. You can talk. Yes?
Kindness to others.
Kindness to others. Yes. Okay. That's a goodness. Right? How else do you think of goodness?
Hospitality.
Okay.
Self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. Okay. That's good. That's good. All right.
So, and none of that is incorrect, okay? But I want us this morning to
stretch that out a little bit. And that's why I move
from the word virtue to goodness. Okay? And stay with me here, okay? Stay with me to understand some differences in the word goodness that we need to grasp in order to really understand what this means. Add goodness to our faith. Okay?
So, we need to understand as God's people that there's a difference between doing good and being good. Okay? Now, doing good is doing all kinds of things that help other people. Okay? Now, being good, we need to also be careful there, because my mother often said to me, okay, Brian, be good. What does that mean? That's not the route that we need to be thinking here, okay? Being good is a state. Doing good is an act. Okay? You got to keep those two straight to understand what the Apostle Peter is trying to teach us here. It's a state. It's who we see ourselves, who we are, versus what we do. Okay?
So keep that in mind. Okay? A person can do good things.
Okay? A person can do all these good things without actually being good. Okay? Do you understand that? You know, you can do something good without actually being a good person.
Keep that in mind. Okay. So, doing good is also easier for us to grab onto.
Okay? Because doing good, and that's what that teacher, the rich young ruler was saying, you know, like, what do I have to do? Like, give me a checklist. That's over here in this doing good
category. Okay? Doing good is easier to grab onto. It's easier. It's something we can manage. It's a bit like a grocery list where you check everything off when you throw it in the cart and I've done it. Great. You come home and you say, okay, I've got everything that was on the list. What must I do? See, if we were to leave it here thinking that I ought to do more good, then we're probably going to leave this morning in a state of guilt and feeling overwhelmed with the uncertainty of whether or not we've actually checked everything off the list. And that's not where I want to leave you this morning. Okay? I want you to move over into this space of what does it mean that you need to be good? What is this being good all about? Because this is going to set you free. This is going to tie you up in knots. All right? So we want to move over here. So, you know, it's important for us to remember that being good is actually a character quality. And it's not about doing good. Peter wants to emphasize, he really wants to emphasize this, because if he wanted us to focus on doing good, he would have used a different Greek word. But he chooses a very specific Greek word. It's arete, A-R-E-T-E is the literal translation. It doesn't mean stop, it means being good, goodness, okay? Peter could have used the word kindness in action. But he doesn't. He chooses a word that says,
we are good before we even do anything. And that's this quality, this character that he wants us to understand when he says, add goodness to your faith. We need to understand that we are good before we do anything. Now, let's
fill that out a little bit. Okay, so this goodness that Peter's talking about is actually the character of God. It's the only way we can be good. Remember what Jesus says to that rich young ruler? Why do you call me good? Only God is good.
So if we're going to be good, what we need to understand is that we need to add the character of God, the qualities of who God is, into our lives. And that needs to happen before we even do anything else. It's through God's gift of faith that we can simply be. We can be His child. We can be who He calls us to be. Putting on goodness, it's not about working harder. It's not about being better at what you do. You know, if I gave you a checklist on how to do good, well, that's almost attainable. But it never really is it? Because there's always one more thing you could do. So it's not the rule checker. That's not what we're after this morning. What we're after is we're after the character of Jesus Christ. That's what we're adding to our life. If you really want to know what it means to be good, you have to know the one who is good. As Romans chapter 3 puts it, apart from God, no one does good. And Romans 7 verse 18 says, apart from God, nothing good lives in us. So then what is this goodness that we need to add to our faith? This goodness is God. We've already talked about that a little bit. Add to your faith God. Add to your faith His glory, His character, which is goodness. Goodness is part of who God is. And that's what Peter discovered on the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen to what he writes in just a little later on in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter chapter 1, the end of verse 16. He says, "We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, 'This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain." And then he says this, he says, "And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention to, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation." Okay, so it's that glory of God that we need to allow God to put on us to add to our faith. And Peter, there's way more. You could connect it to Exodus chapter 33, where Moses meets God on and God shows Moses His goodness, even though Moses asks for His glory.
So then when we take this word goodness and we say, well, what does that mean? What is this goodness?
What we need to understand as God's people is God's goodness is actually Jesus Christ. Let me explain that. To add to our faith goodness means that we add to our lives all that Jesus is.
Goodness in some ways can be likened to the base layer if you're going out
snowmobiling or somewhere in the cold. You
add that base layer. That's really goodness, and I think that's why Peter puts it at the beginning of the list.
He says, when you put on the goodness of God, God no longer sees the grotesqueness of sin, which has damaged your life, but He sees Jesus. He sees goodness.
The goodness of God is a distinguishing character trait that moves us away from sin into life.
It moves us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light.
Goodness is the character of Jesus. It's living in us, the hope of glory, the hope of being able to, as Peter desired, to live in the presence of the glorified Jesus while we still stay in the valley.
So why do we need this goodness? Why do we need it?
Well, there are some people who think they can be good all by themselves.
But what I have found is that life in the valley is difficult and the journey is arduous.
What I have found is that I'm prone to deceit, to lying, to cheating, to grumbling. I'm prone to that. I'm prone to stumble. I'm prone to getting lost. I'm prone to do life my own way. And what happens then is it leads to misery in the valley. It's a little bit like that father whose son is demon-possessed and the son gets thrown into the fire by the demon. And Jesus comes down the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes down out of glory and he comes into that valley. And everyone comes running to him. And they say, well, your disciples couldn't throw out the demon. We're in misery. Can you help? And the father says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. See, I don't know about you, but I find that I just get caught in the misery of the valley, and I don't want to be there. See, I don't want a life filled with drudgery. I want a life that's filled with hope. I want a life that's fresh and new. I want a life that Jesus promises. But it can only happen when we acknowledge that we can't fix ourselves. And if we do that, if we acknowledge that we are broke, that we're broken, then it changes our perspective. If we are to really thrive in the valley, if we're really to have life here, then we need to allow Jesus to dress us with his goodness. The goodness of God. Because then we're able to live as light in the darkness. See, here's the difference between doing good and being good. Okay? The difference is we end up doing good in the way that we think it should be done. But when we are good, it's because we have Christ in us. Doing good in the valley makes one feel good about themselves. Being good in the valley points other people to Jesus. So if this goodness is so good, if it's, what keeps me from it? Like, if I... You know, I find myself living over here. I keep living with these checklists. I should do this. This is good. This is good. This is good. But I know I need to be over here. I need this character of Jesus in me. I need goodness. I know that. But what keeps me from being over there? What prevents me from growing in goodness or adding goodness to my faith? Well, I think one of the things that we need to remember on the outset, and I've already said that, is that there's two kingdoms in our life. There's the kingdom of darkness and there's the kingdom of light. Okay? And they intersect. And at times, the kingdom of darkness seems like a better choice than the kingdom of light. In fact, there are times when darkness acts like light. And so we get confused and we make choices based on darkness that acts like light, but not really the light of Jesus. And in our confusion, we might think we've allowed the goodness of Jesus to come on us, when in fact, really all we've done is created a checklist of how to be good. So we need to move ourselves. We need to see ourselves moving through the power of the Spirit into being good, into that state. Okay? So, let me just expand on that, okay? And there's three areas of our life where I just want to talk about where we might settle for simply doing good rather than having the goodness of Jesus permeate our lives. And I'm going to circle back to that story of the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. Remember what Jesus says at the end of that story? And the rich young ruler is quite disappointed. Okay, Mark chapter 10, Jesus is talking about all kinds of things. And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. This is Jesus talking. He's talking to the young man. He says, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. That's the checklist, right? Right there. And what does the young man say? Teacher, all these I have kept since my youth. I wonder what Jesus' face looked like. I wonder what he was thinking. Because I know that I could never say, all these I have kept since my youth. I don't know about you. This must be a pretty special young man who's checked all the boxes. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and he said, you lack one thing. Go and sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. So like the rich young ruler, our treasures may keep us
out of being good. It may keep us from not being able to move into the goodness of Jesus.
You see, here's one of the thought processes that may happen to you. It happens to me sometimes. We may think that if only I had more treasure, I could do so much more for God and his kingdom. Have you ever thought of that? Okay, maybe I'm the strange one here. If only I was smarter or had a better job. Just think of what I could do for God. Just think if I had a better house, if I was able to produce better food, if I had a better spouse, then life would be so much better in the service of God. Just think of the things I could do. Did you catch it? Did you catch how darkness creeps into our thought process, into our lives? Did you catch how our treasures push us away from the light into darkness? Just think of the things I could do. See, anyone can do good, but only those who have the robes of Christ's righteousness on can be good. So here's the antidote. How do you keep yourself from falling into that trap? Become a true worshiper of God. I don't mean come to church more often, though it may include that for some of us. Be a true worshiper of God by beginning to look at your whole life. Look at the decisions you make today, that you make this week, this month, and ask yourself this question: am I putting on Christ in my decisions? Am I allowing him to permeate my heart, mind, and soul if I choose this direction in life? Am I allowing the goodness of God to come through me if I decide to go in this direction? In order to move from doing good to being good, we need to keep our eyes on the goodness of God, who's called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. We need to focus on Jesus. Here's a second area that may prevent us from putting on the goodness of God. And that has to do with our minds, our mortal thought process. See, Peter knows this struggle firsthand. Peter, in Mark chapter 8, confesses Jesus as the Lord. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus goes on to talk about how he needs to suffer. And Peter says, well, you're never going to suffer in my presence. And what does Jesus say to Peter? He says, get behind me, Satan. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but of man. Sometimes our minds get caught on setting our thoughts on the things of man. You know, we may think it is silly or impractical to have our minds transformed by the Spirit of Christ. I mean, come now. I've confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Do I really need to do more? Do I really need this goodness of God? That seems so old-fashioned. That's so out of touch with today's society. It's time to move into the new century. I can follow Jesus without all this talk of putting on goodness.
I won't get burned by the world. I'm pretty shrewd. And Jesus does say you need to be as shrewd as serpents. You see how our minds work? We tend to discount the truths of the gospel. And then in our thoughts, darkness creeps in and our minds change. Darkness masquerades as light. See, our mortal thought process will always go toward darkness until it's changed by the power of Jesus. And so the antidote to this is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 says, keep in step with the Spirit. If the Spirit of Christ is in us, we will be good before we do good. The Spirit of Christ doesn't cajole us into goodness. The Spirit of Christ does not pound us into submission. The Spirit of Christ, rather, is a conduit by which the goodness or the character of God can flow into us. And it's through the Spirit that we are changed from darkness into light. You know, if we're struggling with the goodness of God in our lives, we need to ask that the Holy Spirit would work in our lives. It's the Spirit that convicts us. It's the Spirit that guides us in truth. It's the Spirit that reveals the Father's will to us. It's the Spirit that produces the fruit of Christ. It's the Spirit that we need. We need to ask God for the Spirit so that we can live in the goodness of Jesus. There's a third area in our life that I just want to finish up on that may prevent us from embracing the goodness of God in our hearts. The heart, says Proverbs, is deceitful above all else. See, it's our heart that will get in the road. It happened way back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, didn't it? What does Satan do? He goes to Adam and Eve and he plays that self-preservation card. He says, look, to really live, you need to take care of yourself. To really do everything that you need to do, you need to make sure that you've done everything for you. You see, if you eat, you're not going to die, but you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. That's what Satan says. Take care of yourself. That's what he tells us. And how do we translate that? Well, maybe you've said it this way. Once I've done all of this stuff, then I'll look at my walk with Christ. Once I'm finished my studies, then I'm going to find a new Christ-centered community that I can be part of. Once I have my work life figured out, you know, I'm settled, I've got everything lined up, yeah, then I'll work on my spiritual life. You see, the heart is deceitful. It wants to tell us that we need to give everything in order, that we need to live life as a checklist. That's where our heart is. God wants to give us a new heart, and he wants to say to us, I just want you to be. I don't want you to do. I want you to be who I called you to be, who I made you to be through my son Jesus. I just want you to be. Be with me. Be my child. And then all the rest of that stuff, that'll get figured out. Because when you're my child, then you can live life the way that I call you to live life. So here's the antidote. Here's the antidote if we're struggling in our hearts to follow Jesus and to put on his goodness. We need to allow our selfish heart to be crucified with Christ. It's only on the cross that we see the goodness of goodness. It's only on the cross that we see the full extent
of God's goodness in our life. It's only on the cross there, planted firmly in the earth, yet nailed to hang in the air, that we see the incredible goodness of God. The Son, sent by the Father to give up His whole life so that we might live. And everything we need for life and godliness is found in the goodness of God. Colossians 1 verse 9 put it this way, the Father was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to Himself us by making peace through the blood on the cross. Goodness. And to your faith, which is a gift from God, add goodness. It's God's divine nature that we can participate in order that we might escape the corruption of this world caused by evil desires. We need goodness to escape evil desires. We need goodness to escape the lusts of our hearts, to escape our idols. We need goodness to escape that which we cultivate and coddle in our life to make us feel good. We need goodness. We need goodness. Add to your faith goodness.
So put it on. Get dressed with it. Every morning, tell yourself, I'm going to put on the goodness of God. Go ahead, do it. It'll make you look good.
In fact, when we do it, then the Father looks at us, His sons and daughters, and He sees His one and only Son, and He says, very good. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You are a God who desires to change us. Help us, Lord. Help us where we need help the most. And for each one of us here this morning, it will be different. And I just pray that Your Spirit would work in our hearts, in our minds, in our whole lives, that we might live in the goodness of Your love through Jesus. Thank You, Father, for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.